Psalm 27, page 611, if you're using a Schofield Reference Bible, page 611, and we'll read verses 7 through 14, and we'll read these verses responsively. Once more, Psalms 27, verses 7 through 14, and may we stand together, please, as is our custom to do, for the reading of the Word of God. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, Seek ye my face, my heart saith unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. The next two verses are our text verses. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And let's pray. Father, what a joy it is to know that we hold within our grasp this morning thy very word. And thank you for the truth of it. Thank you that when we come to church, we can depend upon thy word meeting our needs totally, completely. Thank you for our preacher, for his dedication to the preaching of the word, and may we hear carefully all that you've laid upon his heart to give to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've been wanting to testify all morning about something, the goodness of God. Yesterday, I spent an apprehensive day. About 5:30 in the morning, yesterday morning, phone rang, and it was Mrs. Caroline Daniel, and wife of Dan Daniel, of our members and college teachers. And she said, Brother Hiles, she said, Dan and my son Ron, yesterday afternoon went boating. They were supposed to come in at 6 o'clock last night, but they did not come in. In fact, she said it's 5:30, 5:45 or so now. She said they have not been heard from since they went boating. Well, of course, if she'd said they'd been hunting, I could have thought they got lost in the woods. But when you think about somebody lost on a lake, you just can't think of any way that they could be found alive. And all day I fretted and stewed. And was I pleased and thrilled to hear that they were found and they're okay. I did not know the circumstances, but I've been praising God ever since I heard. Because much of yesterday I was afraid we had lost both of them. I did not know what happened except thank God they're alive. I've been praising God for many things. Yesterday and today, last night and today. I was thinking this morning when Judy Mischick and David Johnson stood, and I was thinking, Elaine, Friday night, we had the wedding for that little couple. I was thanking God for the young folks that turn out good and turn out right. And I also thank God and have been thanking God. Now I'll be preaching in a minute. But I've been thanking God for His grace. It's been mentioned twice already this morning concerning Steve Huckins' family. Brother Nischick mentioned it in my Sunday school class. Brother Larry a while ago mentioned it in his prayer. The Huckins family is going through some real trials. As you know, they lost a little boy. And now Steve Huckins is in the hospital on the verge of a heart attack. And then their 14-year-old son is in the hospital. He has sugar diabetes. Sugar count is up to 900. He's on IVs, on a heart monitoring machine all the time. And Larry, of course, is burdened, and all of us are burdened. But I thank God that His grace is sufficient. I thank God as I'm about to stand this morning. I said, "Dear God, thank You that what we have is real. Thank You there is strength. And thank You, forgive me for saying it, I don't have the answer here, but I have the answer here." And I'm praising God this morning for His goodness. There are many, many burdened hearts in this room. I live with the weeping all the time. And this week, I do not know how many broken hearts I've tried to help mend. I could not tell you the burdens in this room this morning. And I am so grateful to God that I have the Bible. I can give you a portion of it this morning that will help you if you'll listen. I was walking to the wedding Friday evening, and I was thinking about our young people, thinking about a couple I married just the other day, and a couple I'm going to marry this coming week, and a couple who was getting married that night. I was thinking about our young people. And I looked up to the groom, and I said, "Where are you going to spend your honeymoon?" And he said, "Because I hardly ever ask that. None of my business." Well, a little bit of my business. But I said, "Where are you going to spend your honeymoon?" He sort of stuttered. And I said, "Well, where are you going to spend it?" Well, he said, "We were going to go to Pennsylvania." But he said, "The car's not running very well." He said, "Don't know." He was getting married in 5 minutes. He said, "Don't know. I just don't know." Now, I got to thinking about Mrs. Spears, how she had reared that girl alone, and all of the burdens and heartaches. But I want to say this, and I said to them the other night, the heartaches come. Simply give God an opportunity. This morning I'm going to talk to you on the subject, how David kept from fainting. How David kept from fainting. I probably ought to talk on how David, the wedding Friday night, will keep, we hope he'll keep from fainting. I don't know if you're here or not, Elaine. We had a ceremony one night. One day, Jim Lyons was singing the Lord's Prayer, closing song. And all of a sudden, I heard a thud. Everybody's heads were bowed, and I heard a thud. I thought a truck had hit the side of the building. And looked over, and I think the best man, or one of the groomsmen, gone dead, stone cold dead in the altar. I mean, gone. And I was thinking about the time when I married, I won't tell you who it is, he's a deacon now, but when I married him, had to prop him up while he said, "I do." And I won't fat him. And the poor guy, he could really have a case in court that he's not really married, that he was not in a sound mind when it happened. But, of course, but I heard a preacher pray this prayer. I was preaching in Cleveland, Ohio at the annual meeting of the Christian Law Association. By the way, it was my 42,500th sermon of my ministry. And the pastor prayed before me. And he said, "God bless Brother Hiles as he preaches tonight." He said, "Help him to realize that he who preaches to broken hearts will always have a congregation. He who preaches to broken hearts will always have a congregation." This morning I want to talk to you on how David kept from fainting. You don't need to turn to it, but I want to read. "I had fainted unless I had believed to see." I love that line. "I had believed to see." It didn't say I saw to believe. I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, I am not able or capable of being to this great host of people what they need. But I have before me a book that is capable. And I have dwelling in me the Holy Spirit who is sufficient. And so I pray that Jack Hiles will not preach this morning. I pray that the book shall be preached with the Holy Spirit using this lump of clay as I trust a yielded vessel. In Jesus' name, amen. I cannot comprehend the trials that David was facing. I cannot even understand how David kept his sanity. This last week, a little girl came to my office. She's 15, 16, 17. And one of our little bus kids, she lives in this city, but she walks sometimes and sometimes rides a bus. And I was talking with her, and I said, "Where do you live?" And she said, "Well, I live at home now." But she said, "My mama thinks probably I shouldn't live at home. Maybe she'd already moved out for that day. I'm not sure." And I said, "Why?" She said, "Because," she said, "they're shooting at my house every night." And she told me an awful story. And how that every night there were guns shot at her house. And I thought about her having to go home to that kind of a life. I'll live and die for these poor little kids. And nobody will say a bad word about them to me. And these heartbroken people. And I thought as she walked away from the office. This morning, Brother Colton was talking. A couple of three little bus kids, weren't they? We're looking at the pictures there. We have in the hallway there, we have pictures of the college and part of the college and the parsonages. And little bus kids this morning, the fellows were there looking at them, and they're looking at our house and yours and others. And one of them said, "Boy, oh boy, look at those houses." Said, "Those fellows must have good jobs." He didn't know we don't work at all. I tried working for a living half a day in 1938, didn't like it. But I cannot comprehend the problems of some people, but especially David at this time. May I share with you the burden he bore? Just a few days before, his son, Absalom, had rebelled against his father, David, and had gathered a group of people against David, his father, and decided to fight a war. Can you imagine David's own son generaling an army to fight against David's army? So that his own son may walk up the steps to the throne of David and hold the scepter that David had held, to wear the crown that David had worn, to wield the power that David had known. That's heartbreak enough. But David wouldn't fight against his own son. He left the palace and went out to a place outside the city where he could turn and see the dust of battle arising from the city. Can you imagine something of his heartbreak as he stopped to realize that his own boy was in battle against David's own forces? But David wasn't concerned about the victory. He was concerned about his boy. And David came out to the neutral place and looked up and saw the dust of battle as it rose. And soon the dust settled and David knew the battle was over. The messenger Ahimaaz came out to bring the message, but he forgot the message. And David asked the question. He said, "Is the young man safe?" I want you to notice he didn't ask the question, "Did we win the war?" He said, "How's Absalom?" He didn't ask the question, "Who's on the throne? Whose throne is it?" He said, "Is the young man safe?" Ahimeas said, "I saw the dust of the battle. I saw the battle, but don't have the answer to the question." Hushai, the faithful servant, came. And David asked him the same question. And Hushai said, "He's dead." The 27th Psalm is written as David mourned the death of his son Absalom, killed in battle against his own dad. Unbelievable. David gathers the people together and says to his people in this hour, he said, "Folks, don't despair." I have an idea. Somebody said, "You tell us not to despair. What keeps you from despairing?" And David said, "I'll tell you." He says to his people, "Don't faint. The nation is having problems and heartaches, sin, weakness, troubles." He said, "Don't faint." And then David uses as an illustration his situation with Absalom. He gives them a step-by-step way not to faint. David says to the people, "You don't have to faint when you have burdens. You don't have to faint, Mrs. Huckins. When your husband's in a hospital on the verge of a heart attack and your boy is in intensive care and one little boy's body is turned to dust in baby land, you don't have to faint. You don't have to faint, little girl, when there's fighting and shooting at home and your own home is a battlefield. You don't have to faint. I ask you, David, how do you keep from fainting?" David said, "I'll give you a step-by-step lesson." I want to say this morning. Every person in this room needs to hear what I'm going to say. Because every person in this room behind the laughter, there's a reason that any of us could cry ourselves to sleep every night. Behind every laughing face, there's a heart that could be broken. Behind every smile, there's a heaviness. And any one of us this morning could be the object of all of our sympathy. But sympathy, of course, is important, but not near as important as knowing how not to faint. David said, if you have burdens, there could come a cause to faint. Illness, death, the loss of a job, a broken heart, an unsolvable problem. And as I look around this building this morning, even as I'm just glancing around, I can almost be brokenhearted just anywhere I look, because I know the burdens and the problems and the heartaches of the human race, and especially those whom God has called me to pastor for these 26 years. Okay, David, let's hear it. You're qualified. If you didn't faint when your son rebelled against you, if you didn't faint when he marshaled an army and that army went to battle against your armies, David, if you didn't faint when you was out, when you were out there at Mahanaim and looked and saw the dust of battle rising, realizing that your own son was trying to take your throne, David, if you didn't faint when you heard the fact that your son was dead and killed in a battle against his own father, David, if you didn't faint, tell us what kept you from fainting. We too, David, have burdens of our own. Turn this down just a tad, please, in the room. We too have burdens of our own. There are reasons why each of us could faint. David, would you come, please, and would you, who had problems far more than I have, and would you, whose tears were far hotter than my tears are, and would you, whose back was far more drooped than mine is, and would you, whose hands are far more palsied than ours are, and would you, whose eyes are more tear-stained than mine, and would you, who have a bigger problem and burden and heartache and question than we have this morning, David, would you tell us, thou most qualified to tell us, how did you keep from fainting? David said, this is it. He gave us six steps, six things that he did. Now follow me carefully. I want to preach to your mind now, not your notebook, so I want you to look at me. First, David said, he looked in
in the land of the living. He looked in the land of the living, and he saw it as it was. There was grief. There was illness. There was heartache. There are burdens. I'm not going to whitewash your burdens this morning. I mean, there's no need. You've got to face the fact that this is a sin-cursed world. You've got to face the fact that this is a world of heartache. You know, I was thinking a while ago, I walked in the office a while ago, and Cliff Angen was there, and Glenn Smith came walking in behind me. And I got to thinking, and I said, Glenn, do you understand when I became your pastor, you were 37 years old? I said, you know, you got a boy that's older than you were when I became your pastor 26 years ago. He said, that isn't all. I got two boys older. Last week, our oldest daughter and the Smiths' youngest son celebrated their 15th wedding anniversary. They both wore black all day, and they celebrated their 15th wedding anniversary. And I was talking to Ivan May at teacher meeting, and she said tomorrow. She said, our children celebrate their 15th wedding anniversary. And I said, I can't believe it. I can't believe that I've got a daughter that married 15 years. She said, don't you worry. She said, this is my youngest son been married 15 years. You know, I got thinking about Glenn this morning, and I got thinking about the illnesses he's had, and life was so much less complicated back down to years ago. We were young, and then all the complications of life and of rearing the children and the families and of growing older. I'm saying that we gotta face it. I mean, let's face it. You can't hide from your problems. That's one reason why liquor won't do any good. That makes you hide, but you need something that'll help you face reality, and in the heartache can give you strength. I mean, you can go ahead and take your dope if you want to, but your problem's gonna be there when you sober up. You can go out and get drunk if you want to, but tomorrow morning, your problem is going to still be there. And we need something, and that's the good thing about Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus doesn't make you forget your problems. He gives you strength and victory in the midst of your heartache and your burden. David said, the first thing I did, he said, I looked in the land of the living, and I saw it as it was. I looked in the land of the living. Secondly, David said, he said, I could not see the goodness of the Lord. I could not see the goodness of the Lord. Now, broken-hearted ones, burden bearers, let me say something this morning. Though the goodness of God is always present, we can't always see it. And we may as well face it. Some of you this morning cannot see the goodness of God in your burden. David said, let me tell you how I kept from fainting. He said, I had fainted except I lived to believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, the first thing I did, I looked at it and said, okay, I've got a problem. Okay, I have a heartache. Okay, I have a burden. Now he said, the second thing, I could not see the goodness of the Lord. You know, let's face it, we're human, and sometimes we're going to look at things and say, I don't see God in that at all. I don't see it. David said, the first thing I did, I looked in the land of the living and accepted it like it was. He said, number two, I could not see the goodness of the Lord. Now follow me carefully. He said, number three, I believed it was there even though I couldn't see it. This morning you look at your life and say, how could God be in this? Okay, if you can't see God in it, believe that it's there. If you cannot see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, believe it's there. David said, I looked and saw my son in rebellion against me, and he said, I could not see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, but I believe it was there anyway. He said, I saw the dust of battle rising, and my own son trying to take my throne, and he said, I looked out, and I saw the land of the living, and I could not see God. I could not feel the hand of God. I could not see the work of God. But he said, I believe that God was there anyway. This morning, if the load is heavy to bear, and tomorrow's hard to face, and the clouds seem like they cover the sun, and the fog is veiling your own hand from your own vision, and you can't see God, you look up and say, I can't see this. I can't understand it. David said, I couldn't understand it either. Why, when I heard that my son was dead, when I realized that my own son had died on the battlefield of rebellion against his father, And I went up and said, "Oh, Absalom, my son, oh, my son, Absalom, would God I had died for thee, oh, Absalom, my son." David said, "I could not see God in that." But, brother, you don't have to see God in it. God did it anyway. If you can't see God's hand in the land of the living, you believe it's there even though you cannot see it. David said, first thing I did, he said, here's what I did. He said, "If you want to know how I didn't faint, if you want to know how I could face what I faced without fainting, if you want to know how I stood what I stood without fainting, if you want to know how I looked at the body of my own son and followed the hearse to the cemetery and laid his body in the grave, you want to know how I stood it, how I kept from fainting?" He said, the first thing, I looked at the land of the living and realized they had a problem, didn't evade it, didn't avoid it, faced it. He said, the second thing I did, he said, I could not see God's goodness in it. But he said, the third thing I did, I believed it was there. This morning, you don't have to see God's goodness in the land of the living. You know, don't put God's goodness on trial. Don't put God's goodness on trial. I do not know what your burden is, all of you. But I want to say this, God is good. You say, I can't see it. See it or not, God is good. You say, I can't comprehend it. You don't have to comprehend it. God is good. Let me tell you something, and you hear me well. Romans 8:28 is in the Bible still. And all things still work together for good to those who love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. He says, I can't see how they're good. You don't have to see it, but God is good. I said, God is good. I said, God is good. I said, God is good. The Church of Jesus Christ needs an old-fashioned baptism of trusting God and taking God's goodness off the witness stand. David said, here's how I took it. When my son rebelled against me, when the battle for the throne was fought between his forces and mine, when Cushai came and said, your son is dead, he said, here's how I took it. And he said, I would have fainted. He said, I did these things. First, I looked to the land of the living and I saw it as it was. Second, I could not see the goodness of God. And third, I still, though I could not see the goodness of God in the circumstances of my life, I still believed the goodness of God was there. And third, he said, I believed I would see it. Now listen carefully. He didn't say when he'd see it. He didn't say, I believed I'd see it now. He said, I believed to see. Brother, anybody. He said, well, when I see it, I believe it. No, you won't, brother. When you believe it, then you're going to see it. You don't see to believe. There's no faith in seeing, believing what you see. There's no faith in saying, well, there's a T-bone steak. I got faith in God. You'll feed me. God doesn't have to feed you. Steak's there. Eat it yourself. When the plate's empty and you see a steak, that's what God's talking about. I'm going to preach about that tonight. I can't wait. Just decided to. No, I'm going to preach about that tonight. I'm going to preach tonight about the fellow that lives in a world all his own. That's the title of my sermon. I just happened to think about it. I'll get the sermon later on. But the guy that lives in a world all his own. I mean, the fella who sees a stake to believe it's there won't have another one. But the fella who sees a stake that's not there, he'll have a heap of them. God will give him the whole cow. So David said, he said, okay, you got burdens. Okay, your heart's heavy. Okay, you got problems. Okay, there's a war going on. I mean a war of bullets and guns in your own house. And your one boy's dead, and one boy's in intensive care, and your husband's about to have a heart attack. Okay, David said, let me tell you how I kept from fainting. He said, the first thing I did, I looked at it and said, I've got a problem. I won't escape it. I won't drink no way around it. I won't dope no way around it. I won't get hypnotized around it. I'll face it. And he said, said, the second thing I did was I realized that I could not see the goodness of God. And the third thing I did, I still thought and knew the goodness of God was there, even though I could not see it. And the fourth thing, I believe that I'll see it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying, hear me now, I'm not saying this morning that you believe and you will see things turn out as you think they ought to turn out. But I'm saying if you'll believe the goodness of God's there, you'll live to see, if you believe the goodness of God is there, when you can't see the goodness of God, you'll live to the day where you'll see the goodness of God was in it. I mean, I cannot say God's going to be your servant and make it turn out like you think it'll turn out, but I'll say this, I'll guarantee you when it's all over, if you'll believe that God's in it and believe that God's goodness is there, I'll guarantee you when it's over, you'll say, I see it now. I see it now. Do not think when. Just believe you'll see it. And David said, number 5, and I love that verse, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. The next thing he said, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. May I say this? The burden you face, the load you carry, the heartache you have this morning, first, accept it. You've got it. You can't get around it. You've got it. Second, realize that you may not can see the goodness of God. Third, believe that the goodness of God is there. Fourth, believe you'll see it someday. Understand the goodness of God. And fifth, wait. David didn't take this thing in his own hands. You can't see where to go. Sit still. You cannot see the goodness of God. Don't move. Funny thing about it, most of our decisions are made in life when we're too weak to make them. Most of our decisions that affect our entire lives are made when we're too weak and too and have such burdens so heavy, we don't have our good decision-making processes. And David said, look, if you don't know what to do, he said, wait.
The Lord's going to take care of it. They that wait, sing it. Upon the Lord, sing it, shall renew their strength. Yes, they shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. David said, now, you can't see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You can't see it. I understand that. And David said, but believe it's there. And David said, believe you'll see it. And then David said, wait. Wait. I remember the first time I ever heard the family altar broadcast. Brother Roloff. He had just been kicked off the radio station. He was on. I heard this guy singing, well, it came and they were blessed. And it gave that old weary rest, and he made the blinded eyes to see what he fed the hungry soul. And he came on and said, well, he said, I'm awful low today. He said, well, praise God anyhow. Awful low today. He said, the Baptists say I haven't got enough for them. I got too much for them. He said, the Pentecostals say I haven't got enough for them. I don't know where I am. He said, they've kicked me off the station. He said, the station's owned by the Texas Baptist Convention, and they've leased a part of a building they own to a liquor store. And he said, I told him, as the devil, to lease a Baptist building, part of it to a liquor store. And he said, the same crowd that owned the building and owns the station, I've been voted off, kicked off the station. He was low all the way. But I lived to see and believed to see, and he lived to see and believed to see. I saw him sign the papers one day when Lester Roloff owned that radio station. You say, preacher, how will I ever see the victory? Believe it's there. If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, did you hear me? If you trust, and never doubt, he will surely, but I can't see, maybe can't see, believe. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. David said, you want to know how I took it? You want to know how you can keep from fainting? He said, in the first place, he said, look in the land of the living and see it as it is. He said, in the second place, he said, realize the fact that you cannot see the goodness of God and what's going on. He said, in the third place, he said, believe the goodness of God is there even though you can't see it. He said, in the fourth place, believe that you will see it one of these days. He said, in the fifth place, wait. Don't rush it. Don't rush it. You can't create the goodness of God. And you'll rush and do something you shouldn't do in an effort to cure your own problem. David said, sit still and wait. Wait. If you don't know what to do, don't do anything. If you don't know where to go, stay where you are. If you can't see the goodness of God, don't move. Stay where you are. And then lastly, David said, I saw. Now, wait a minute. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? David said, I learned to live to see how that my boy's death was caused by the goodness of God. Did you hear that? He said, I saw. How did you see, David? I believed God's goodness did it when it happened. I didn't see how, but I see now. How did you see, David? I waited. I believed and I waited. I love that little illustration story. About the fellow came to this infidel came to the pastor and said, yeah, you've been talking about the Sabbath day and the Lord's day. And keep the Lord's day holy and don't work on Sunday. And he said, Reverend, I got some news for you. Well, he said, this year I plowed my field on Sunday. I planted my crop on Sunday. I hoed the weeds on Sunday. And I harvested the crop on Sunday. And he said, this October I had the best harvest ever had. What are you going to say about that? The preacher looked at him and said, quietly, I'm going to say this. God doesn't always pay off in October. God doesn't always show you His goodness when you want to see it. You just believe it's there. Now, some of you this morning, you say, how could God do this to me? Okay, if you can't see God's goodness, at least you can believe God's good and believe that the goodness of God is there. And then believe that someday you'll see it. And bless God, someday you will see it and you'll look back and you'll say, I can see it. Three observations. One is, you don't see to believe, you believe to see. Two, God's goodness did not come so David could see it. God's goodness was already there, David just didn't have eyes to see it yet. And three, God wants us to believe, Romans 8:28, even if we cannot see it. A while ago as I was preaching, I just glanced across this side. And my eyes stopped. 15 times at least. And messages shot up to me from broken hearts. As I've looked over the crowd this morning, I've been talking, I've seen people like that. I know a little bit about the burden. I do not know all of it. Some of you have chosen, you've borne your burden alone. But I know one thing. I know we serve a good God. God's way is the best way. And so may I have David to testify one more time. David, tell us again. We never have known what you've known. We felt some arrows, but we've never felt the sharp arrows you felt. David, we've had some midnights, but we've never had midnights without a single star in the sky like you did. We've seen some fogs, David, but we never saw one as deep, as thick as the one you saw. David, how did you keep from fainting? He wipes a tear from his eye. His mind goes back over the past years. David said, here's how I kept from fainting. I realized I had a burden. I tried to see God's goodness in it and couldn't see it. No way I could figure it out. But I still believed it was there. And I believed that God would let me see it someday. And hallelujah, I see it now. But I had to wait. And while I waited, I had to trust.
When I couldn't see his hand, I still believed it was out there. When I couldn't see the Shekinah, I still believed it was there. I didn't see so I could believe. I believed so I could see. Our Heavenly Father.